So every first Sunday of Lent always begins with one or other version of the temptation narrative, either Matthew, Mark, or Luke, because it's a three-year cycle, and besides, the Gospel of John doesn't have a temptation narrative for Jesus. Jesus was not tempted, of course, in the Gospel of John. To what was he tempted? I propose he was tempted to foreshortening people's freedom. I mean, if you can promise people a free lunch or religious spectacle, you can be almost certain that people will be captivated by that, to some extent at least. And the cost of that, of course, is the cost of human choice. You're sort of seduced, if you will. And then, of course, the third temptation summarizes that whole business, which is a lie. Be tempted to lie. I'll give you all this stuff. Okay. So I've been puzzling over this business for a week, and I want to do something I don't normally do, which is preach a highly confessional homily. The word temptation, the more I looked at it, the odder it looked to me. It sounds like one of those old-fashioned things. Temptation. What am I tempted to? A second dessert. You know, buying a dress that I can't afford. Blah, 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 blah. It's old-fashioned, like antimacassars or doilies or nobility. We don't use those words anymore, at least not with any real substance. And I thought, Trojak, my God, that's disgusting. You're not tempted by anything. You live your life, you do your business, you choose what you want, you go your way, life goes on. And the question of temptation, namely something that I must consciously resist in myself in the name of fidelity to God, simply does not arise. It's an embarrassing kind of revelation, but it's true. I do what I want, basically. Often enough without very close examination. I try to get what I want, again, in very much the same way. So the notion of temptation is like one of those antique notions that we don't use anymore. I don't think. I look at my world, I look at the kids I teach, I look at the university. People do what they want. Whatever cost, they do what they want. I look at my kid who's living with me very clearly. Marcelo doesn't think of temptation at all. Unless a real obstruction is put in his way, and that doesn't arise from him, it arises from me. So what do we do with Lent? Give up candy, sex, alcohol, movies, TV. That's what I was raised on, this hokey kind of asceticism which got no place and did nothing for me. So what am I called upon to do if I'm going to observe Lent? I, Trojak. Is it to look more closely at my life? To look at the resentments I bear, the grievances that I will not let go of, the anger, the grief, the hopelessness. All these things are there, part and parcel of my existence, and I don't look at them. They're like the air. They're just there. So I'm proposing for myself and for you, insofar as you can recognize anything of yourself in what I just said, to be more attentive. And I think the heart of the temptation is present in that Lucan narrative or Mark's or Matthew's. Temptation to cheat. to infringe on other people's freedom, either by flattery or deception. We all do it. We all do it. And whether it's positive cheating or negative cheating, it's still cheating. It's still dishonest. It's still an infringement on the liberty of the other. You know? And it's all dishonest. It's all a lie. It all pollutes the human scene. Contaminates the relationship between us. We're supposed to be able to stand naked and unashamed before each other. We don't, of course. We don't at all. How many people can you say in your own lives at this moment, is that true of? And we're not talking about nudity, of course. We're talking about self-exposure. We're talking about self-revelation, honest self-revelation. So, do we participate in the temptations of Jesus? I believe so. I deeply believe so. I mean, I want to cheat. I want to get what I want, however and whatever it takes to get what I want. From the other, from the world, for myself. Well, that's where the wall of temptation emerges. We can just soften the lines of reality, you know, blur the lines of reality of what should really obtain between us human beings. We don't do it. I don't think we do it. I mean, look at the bloody world. And tell me that's the pattern. It's not the pattern. But clearly, if we're talking about a change of heart, the metanoia, the great penitential act of transformation of my heart, I believe that this is a reasonable starting point.